Hey, Darkside fans. Justin from Darkside Records here, unashamedly telling you to plan ahead. If you're considering getting a new turntable, getting somebody else a turntable, you might want to think about sooner rather than later. Don't know if you heard, but we had this little thing called a pandemic, which kept a lot of people at home for a long time. And you know what that means? Our suppliers have literally told us that there will be no new turntable shipments until 2021. So basically, the stock that we have now is the stock that we have for the entire holiday shopping season this year. So don't wait. We have awesome bundles available. We even added a new pair of speakers into the mix this year. So we have bundles starting at $230, all the way up to sky's the limit. Mix and match. We got a price for everything. Come in, talk to one of us. We'll show you everything that's on display. Get you set up for good times. Or bad times. Your choice.
This is the Darkside Records and Gallery Podcast.
Oh my God.
What are you supposed to do with this shit? You got to carry it around your whole fucking life. You can't throw it away.
You could get like a double-decker urn.
No, I was thinking about just like getting a regular size urn that's not ugly and just sort of, you know, mixing them together and then getting rid of the rest.
It's up to you.
That'd be kind of cute.
I just want one urn.
Are you recording that? Because
I like that. I like that in your house world, the options are throw them away or condense them into one combined human.
I've been carrying around my dead parents' ashes since I was 10 years old.
God. You scatter them somewhere like beautiful and scenic or. You know,
I knew he was going to laugh at that. Fucking, said that.
You press them into a vinyl record.
Some fucking ashes.
You know, you fucking...
I'm also pretty sure that after a certain amount of time, ashes solidify.
No,
I think I read that
powdery.
Online. Huh?
They're very sandy. It's like a coarse sand.
He gives them a good shake once a year. Just to...
Well, my mom's urn is upside down because like the screws are broken on the bottom. So if I were to pick it up, literally the bags of ash would fall out.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Kind of been there.
And then, that's hey, scary. Mom.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mom. Love you, Mom.
Fun dip.
Oh, my God. It's
mom dip. I'm not proud of that joke. I don't know.
It's not.
Mom dip? Mom dip?
That's...
I just had this vision of, like, all of the ashes falling out and one of your cats encountering it and being like, oh, litter box.
Oh, yeah.
Cats don't know sand is sand to them.
Did anybody ever read David Sedaris, Me Talk Pretty One Day? There's this whole thing. It's a great fucking book. And there's this whole thing in there where he has to like put down his cat and like it's cremated. And he was like always had kind of an adversarial relationship with the cat. And so he decided that he was going to spread the ashes on his carpet and then vacuum him up because he thought that's what the cat would have wanted.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
Okay, so going forward, should any of us die randomly and be cremated, what do you want done with your ashes?
Oh, so it's on the record.
Yeah, let's just put it out there.
Yeah, I really hope my parents check the Darkside podcast to know what to do with my ashes.
I know mine. Mine's easy. Take them to Canada. Take them up to Wesemcoon Lake. Sprinkle them out in the water. Boom.
Easy I really peasy. Thought that it was going somewhere along the lines of, like, do something with them in Canada that's not legal to do here. Yeah. Are you allowed to bring human remains over the border asking for a friend?
You just don't say anything. You just go over the border. Like, you know, you don't declare when you bring beer over the border. You just go.
But
you
what
know?
If they check?
Then you're fucked.
It's fun dip.
You as long as you're cool, you know. I won't tell a story on the record about accidentally bringing something to a border. But
it was a gun, wasn't it?
Oh my God.
His silence says yes, it was a gun. Oh
my God. Wait, my parents told me a story when they like took an RV to Mexico and they were coming back to the US and they like said like, do you got anything in the car? And my dad and they bought like puppets like really like I don't know, puppets. They said, mm-hmm. I don't know where they are. But they're like,
first
my dad's like,
show.
Like Muppets.
My dad was like, nope, just a couple of puppets. And they're like, pull over.
They searched the entire RV.
See?
And my mom was right. Like, what the fuck?
That's the same thing as, no, you can't look in the trunk. Step out of the car, sir.
We were just talking about
it. Yep.
It's like, oh, you think you're funny? Pull over.
Just some puppets. Step out of the car, sir. Need to see some ID. Spread them.
The reason you don't know where the puppets are is because the cops actually gutted them for drugs.
Yeah,
rude.
I just try to be polite at the border. That's my move. Is just
see. Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like my dad tried to be like casual and didn't work out.
I mean, there's like a, you know, it's a government transaction you're making. So you know, I guess I did make a that's what she said joke when I signed my marriage license.
Hell
so.
Yeah. I have found that some kind of joke the border crossing into the countries, it's always much more pleasant than the ones trying to come back into the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, when I went to Canada, this dude just had, like, a conversation with me at the border. He's like, oh, how you doing there? What you coming up here for? He's like, just a little weekend vacation. Oh, it's beautiful this time of year, eh?
He does a good Canadian voice.
Yeah, he's crazy.
I like his Canadian voice.
And then on my way back in, like, name. Where are you from?
With, like, automatic weapons.
Yeah, state
shit.
Your
yeah.
business.
Yep.
Like, I fucking live here, dude. Chill.
I've had the same experience at airports. Like, airports in other countries, they're much more pleasant at customs than they are in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
One time when I was, like, coming back, the guy was like, do you have over $10,000 with you? And I just looked at him and I was like, does it look like I have $10,000 at all? And he didn't laugh. And then I was just like, no, I don't have $10,000.
Cop ruined my Cheez-Its once.
Rude? What?
Ruined my Cheez-Its.
How?
We rented an RV the second year we went to Bonnaroo.
Mm.
And we learned the first year that if you take the main road in, it's fucking shit show. You're just sitting on the road for hours. So we had a map back in the day. And we like found some back roads to go on this county road, cruising right along. Fucking get pulled over in an RV. By a couple of, like, local sheriffs.
Mm-hmm. In the mm-hmm. South.
Yeah, in nowhere, Tennessee. Gosh. And, like, they were convinced that we had drugs. So they searched the entire thing. And I had a box of Cheez-Its because we bought all kinds of snacks and food, so we didn't have to buy all our food there.
Right.
And by the time we got back into the RV, after my friend was cuffed on the hood of the cop car.
What the fuck?
We got back in and the Cheez-Its were everywhere. He, like, rifled through all my Cheez-Its, and they were all over, like, the little kitchenette seats and everything.
What is throwing the bag around over his head?
It was like, you know, we went to, like, BJ's or something to buy snacks. It was a big-ass box of Cheez-Its.
What a fucking
that
would
have lasted all week between six people.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That was what we threw the Cheez-Its, and they ruined it.
Yeah, they fucking ruined my Cheez-Its.
That's fucked up.
That's fucked up.
On that note, hey everyone, welcome to the Dark Side Records podcast. This is, of course, a podcast brought to you by the good folks at Dark Side Records, located at 611 Dutchess Turnpike
in
Poughkeepsie.
I knew I was going to fuck that up, so I just didn't even try.
Or on the web at darksiderecords.com. This is a monthly podcast about...
Sort of.
I mean, in theory, it's a monthly podcast. I'll do two this month. I'll make up for it. A monthly podcast about music, the music industry, vinyl records.
Cheez-Its.
What to do when you die.
What did I say last year? Oh, astrology. Okay.
Only what to do with JB's ashes when he dies. Yes. Yeah.
What do you guys want to do with your ashes? JJ, what about you?
I don't fucking care. Do whatever you want.
No, that's the scenario you're in right now, is because that's what they said.
Whoever obtains them, have fun. I don't give a shit. Yeah. I'm gone.
That I 100% agree. Like, whatever makes that person feel comfortable.
In fact, like, don't cremate me and don't embalm me.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Just give me to something that'll be useful to something else. Like, if I got to be ass up in a police forensic farm somewhere... I don't give a shit. That's fine.
Yeah.
Science?
That's why I'm an organ donor.
Yeah, donate to science, whatever, you know.
Everyone
need
should
to be
organ
poked
donor.
And prodded and some medical labs, you know, some kids are hungover studying for the MCATs or something like that, and they got to give me a fucking injection. Do it up.
Okay.
I 100% agree.
Okay, so two no cremates, donate to science.
Well, like, if you can like, donate my organs to somebody or any, like,
I assume that comes before the cremation. Yeah. Like, I'm an organ donor, so they take all the shit out and then they throw what's left in the oven.
Is that how they do that?
I assume.
I think so.
I didn't assume that.
Someone, if you're a listener, let us know. Otherwise, it's just going away.
Like, I don't care. Like, you see, I'm an organ donor, and then if not, like, then whatever. Yeah. It's up to my mom and dad.
Yeah, take my organs. Then, yeah, with whatever's left, the, you know, kind of loose bag of my body, just throw that in the oven.
Yeah.
I guess it's arms and legs, really. That's.
I'm just imagining, like, the skin just being tossed.
Yeah.
You want to be cremated. They said on the Dark Side podcast.
That's my rule. I need specifically to be tossed into the oven or the kiln. Yeah. Like, not.
Oh, my God.
Not. Classily, you know, put on rollers in a box and slid in slowly while they say some solemn things. Like, I want it, like a guy like swinging me in a big circle over his head and like heaving me in.
I'm like crying because I'm like imagining that. Like your empty box.
Mm-hmm. That's what I want. Noted on the podcast.
And then like your leg is like sticking out and they're gonna like.
They get a broom and they just poke it a couple times to get it in.
Oh my God.
Okay, that's fine with me.
It's so grim.
You guys, over here?
I've, like, been over here thinking about, like, interesting things to do with ashes because, like, the only thing I could come up with was, like, I don't know, like, press me into an eyeshadow palette, I guess.
That's,
like,
something I can do with powder. No, that's iconic.
I don't know, honestly. Right? I don't know if anyone would ever want to use that, but, like.
Uh-huh. Boom. Wait, iconic. No, do that.
Do you have a specific color?
No, that can be buyer's choice.
Okay, buyer's choice.
Customization.
Hello, I'm a corpse buyer. I'm making eyeshadow.
Oh man,
Brian, what about you?
I don't cremate me, spread me somewhere. I am not an organ donor because don't touch my shit. This is mine. I was born with these organs. Don't fucking touch my shit. I'm selfish.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I want to be burned with all of it. It's going to smell like burnt hair when they torch me. It's going to be, ugh.
Just burnt mustache
hair.
Yeah,
just burnt mustache.
Okay, noted. Do you have a place you'd like to be spread?
Somewhere near water. Nice water, not like Hudson River water.
You got to, look.
Like a Fiji water?
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Go to the gas station.
Mm-hmm. Guys, mm-hmm. Make it happen. Yeah, that's really it.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of an appropriate conversation. This was supposed to be our last end of the year, end of 2020 podcast, where we reflect on the corpse being thrown into an oven that was 2020.
Thrown into a dumpster on fire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is 2020 the body or the oven?
No, just that whole scenario sums up 2020. Just
yeah, that's fair.
Comical... terribleness.
Yeah.
We like to do this every year. It's a little late. I know. It's 2021. It's January. We're just going to pretend that this came out in December. We were busy.
We were a little busy.
Doing stuff. It's our staff end of the year episode.
Zode.
Excuse me?
Remember how I pointed out to you recently that you say Zode and you
mm-hmm.
didn't know it?
Mm-hmm.
Just like episode.
Sesame.
So turn on your TV, bust out some sesame chicken.
Some Sesame Street.
I'm trying to think of other words that people pronounce strangely.
I'm not sure because I was busy at the museum today.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely done.
That's a Birdo one, actually. He says museum.
He does?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
When he's here on the podcast again, I will make sure to somehow work the word museum into the podcast.
On the next episode, you're saying?
No, next episode.
I'll see you on the next Zode.
It's the 2020 version of the 90s zine. It's the Zode.
The Zode.
Okay. That could be, we'll start a YouTube channel. We'll do, you know, weekly shows, and that'll be one of the shows.
The Zodes.
The Zode.
One of the Zodes.
So we're here to talk about 2020. It was a year.
Technically a little shorter than the last years.
In which way?
Oh. The Earth was actually spinning slightly faster.
But wasn't it a leap year?
It was, yeah. It was a leap year.
But still.
So double.
That's just
okay.
A calendar. It doesn't actually matter. But the Earth is actually spinning slightly faster than it was in 2019.
Does the Earth
gradually spin faster and faster?
It actually is gradually speeding up, yeah. Very, very, very gradually, but yes.
So at what point does it start spinning so fast that we just...
When we're all... some point, well, when we've all been scattered appropriately, things will
scattered.
Be fucked.
Mm. Respect Ryan's wishes, guys. Don't touch those fucking organs.
Come back my shit, man.
Come back and
I die
me.
How I live. Don't touch my shit.
So I thought I'd just take some time here. Introduce our staff to you, the listener. And go over some fun things from 2020. Some lists. Some memories. We'll do a whole thing. Introduce ourselves. I'm JB.
I'm JJ.
I'm Julia.
I'm Becca.
I'm Brian.
I guess before we even get into some of the things we'll talk about, we just want to say here officially on the podcast, thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Yeah, I don't know what to say. We were shut down for 3 months this year, which is weird. But everybody came back in full force, and I'm happy to report that Darkside had its best year ever on the books. So that's pretty incredible. Oh, in a pandemic, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just because everybody was staying home more, or maybe people saw the value of supporting something local in their community, because we've seen a ton of new faces this year, especially mm-hmm. since we reopened back in middle of June. Mm-hmm. And thank you all. Thank you, Hudson Valley and beyond. Everybody that's found us or bought something online from us. We've shipped more records than ever. Maybe in the next episode we'll have some actual stats from 2020.
Okay.
Sorry, stats from 2020. And we'll talk about all the bestsellers, and I can pull up how many shipments we did last year.
Oh, God.
And, you know, all the statistical things. But it was a crazy year, and just thank you, and stick with us. We got more to come.
Indeed. Thank you to everyone who watches us live Monday nights on Facebook, people who listen to all of our ridiculous internet content, including this podcast.
Yeah, I was about to say including this.
I mean, I'd file this under ridiculous internet content. Yeah. We had 4 different record store days that happened this year.
That was crazy.
Does anybody have a good memory from a record store day that they want to share?
My
or
birthday.
Good memory from the year, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, your birthday was a record store day.
It was the first one too. That was nice.
Yeah, I said that we got to experience what like West Coast record store days are like,
yeah.
Where it's not, you know, buried in snow and actually somewhat warm.
Yeah, people were in shorts.
Record store
Besides
day in shorts.
Me.
Right.
And me.
Every day is shorts day if you're Brian.
Damn right.
Does anyone have a favorite record store day? Or is that
no?
I'm gonna go 2012. Is my favorite.
I feel like they were all just sort of an extension of one thing. It was like,
yeah. For sure.
It was like a monthly.
Would you say it was monthly?
Would you say
funny.
That they were episodes?
A monthly episode.
It was a 4-parter. You know, it was a
record stores day.
And then the finale to the year was really we had Black Friday. And then it went right into the holiday season, and it mm-hmm. felt faster than ever this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's why we're doing the podcast after.
Yeah, this really was not possible in January this year, or December.
No.
It was chaotic in December.
Yeah.
I felt like the 4 record store days were good to get us ready for holiday. You know, it wasn't just like this kind of weird slow period, and then Black Friday, and then the holiday season. It was just the holiday season since August.
I know, it's funny because I remember my first year when I started working here, Tyler was like, yeah, like Black Friday's really fun because it's like a warm-up to like April, and it was like record store day was the warm-up this year.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of good memories of 2020, you know.
It's kind of hard, right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Hard. I guess a good memory was coming back.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I gotta say, my last day here, it kind of felt like I was getting broken up with, because I was clearing. I don't know.
Good to know I've still got it.
And then I was like, "Can I call you?" I was like, "I'm gonna. Am I getting broken up with? Like, what the fuck? Like, it's like, but my last
was
day
nice
was clearing out like my records like, I was taking all my records home out of my cubby, and I was like, damn, it's like I'm moving out.
I remember that day. Yeah. I remember I took a photo that day of, I think, you and Justin and Drew, and it was like everybody was just going through emotions.
I saw my mom's reaction to seeing the picture because it was on her story, and she started crying.
Aww.
Like got really, really sad, and I was like, please don't cry, because I'm going through it right now. So, yeah, good memories coming back, and, like, seeing everyone's faces again. Some more than others. You know. Some more than others, but, you know, that's retail for you.
So this year, we changed a bunch of stuff. We expanded our offering to give more than just in-store shopping. We did a ton more e-commerce. We expanded our shipping options. We did deliveries for a very brief minute. We did a bunch of curbside.
Yeah, I know where some of you live now.
Yeah, I was going to say, just know, I will still do deliveries, but I will be throwing them like Frisbees when I get to your home.
I was going to go just like slingshot.
If you can't come to the store. That's what, like,
or curbside.
You could have a medical reason that you can't come out, or you're...
Okay, now Justin's making you look like a dick, all right? It's fine.
No, I'm like, for real. Like,
but no, you're right.
You know, you could have a medical issue that you can't come out. You could have physical limitations of some sort.
No car.
No car.
Okay, but, edit me out, because that just looks bad.
But there's a way to do it and be pleasant, or even just not annoying.
Yes, I agree.
And eventually, when every single person on the staff groans when they see your name, that's when I take offense, and that's when I feel like I need to step in, because you're not only... giving other people anxiety about your phone call, but you're wasting my money.
Yeah, true.
Oh, so there
spoken
I step in.
Like a true Capricorn. You guys,
you know me.
You guys,
we should just start saying, for $5, I'll drive to your house and I'll throw the CDs into your yard like they're Frisbees. Just
like that one guy in Wavengers.
And the more times you call, the harder I throw them.
Anybody have one of those like Nerf guns as a kid that shot the little disc? Mm-hmm. It was like kind of a flat foam disc.
Yes.
That's what I'm picturing for CDs right now. It's like mechanical spring loaded, and just the disc flies out.
Wait, doesn't it like turn into a spear?
What?
Do you remember that? That was like late.
You had some 2000s toys.
Yeah.
I know exactly.
It was like that was definitely my brother's toys. It like started as a Frisbee, and then it like popped up as a spear.
I think by the brothers were born, we were all like 20 something.
Yeah, true.
At least.
No, yeah, 100%. But yeah, I remember that.
We didn't get the cool Nerf guns at that age.
Yeah.
We got the original Nerf guns.
This wasn't even a Nerf gun. I think it was like a knockoff.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It had like
a
little like clear
discs.
Chamber on the top, and you had the, like six or eight little foam discs.
Nerf guns.
Yeah, and like he shot him around the house, and then after like three times, he got tired of chasing him because like the ceiling fan would blow him all over the house.
Oh my god, yeah, it was so annoying.
Well, I mean, on my birthday party last year, was it Jenny? Somebody for some reason got me two Nerf guns and like just like a bag of fucking Nerf darts. I was like,
it's on my 12th birthday.
Well, I was like, thanks, I guess. Cool. But then it turned into this thing where Dan Aloisi and Steve just wrecked my house, and they were just fucking shooting each other
I am
in the neck.
Not surprised at
all. Fucking shooting each other in the eye, and there's darts everywhere, and they're knocking shit over, and they're running through the house.
I can picture this.
They're
I'm
both fucking
surprised.
Drunk as shit, shooting Nerf guns, yes. and then I was like, all right, well, I guess, you know, joy is being had by.
I always wanted to have
guns.
Like an adult Nerf gun war, but everyone's fucking lame. Apparently, I gotta hang out with Dan and Steve Moore.
when I was in college, we started like a laser tag league.
Mm.
And
oh, that's
fun. It turns out we found all people who had laser tag kits, and we would meet on campus. And we have
awesome.
These like, for some reason, we all had laser tag.
I was
going to
say,
so
there was three of you.
I know, all the nerds on campus.
That's but, fucking awesome.
Yeah,
that's
and we would like hunt through dorms and shit at Marist and like chase each other
that's
around.
That's a good place to do it too.
And we would meet up at like midnight. You know, and, like, dressed in all black. Like,
that's fucking awesome.
In hindsight, maybe a little shadier than I remember it.
This is like pre-9/11.
I was just about to say, this is before 9/11.
If you did that now, someone would absolutely kill you.
Yeah. I'll start a league, is what I'm saying.
Start a league.
Whether you want to go foam dart or laser.
I feel like I could benefit from a Nerf gun and just sit on at one end of my apartment and just shoot them, and then Fig would just run. And that'll just be how I exercise my cats now.
Just by Nerf gun.
There's just like 50 darts all on the other side of the room.
She would bring them back, though, I think.
The cat would run and just jump in the pile.
Yeah. Oh, I think I already have to pee. I don't know if anyone knows this, but every podcast I pee like 3 times. Like too much.
You psych yourself out.
Too much pee.
All right, the segment has been Julia's UTI talk. Well, I guess I'll just, while we're here, let's just get to the meat and potatoes, what we all came here for tonight, what we know our listeners have been craving,
oh, yeah.
Clamoring for, messaging us nonstop, get that goddamn top 10 episode out. Thanks for not actually doing that. I appreciate not reading those emails. We like to celebrate 2020, and we, of course, also like to share with you the music that we loved this year. 2020 was a strange one for releases, between things getting canceled outright, to things being postponed, to surprise releases. A tumultuous music year for music listeners, music lovers. And as always, we like to ask you, our wonderful fan base, our listeners, the general public, people who don't even like us that much, we ask you to send us your top 10 lists.
I just imagine someone sending in a list and being like, fuck you, here's my list.
I want to get a top 10 list. Let's just fuck you 10 times. Written down. Every year we do the same thing. We post online. We ask for your top 10 lists to share them with us. If you post them online, to tag us in your posts, or we have a hashtag, DSTop102020. That is, of course, DS, the words spelled out, TOPTEN, and then the numbers, 2020. I know in an audio format it's a little more confusing. If you see it, it makes more sense. A bunch of you listeners have sent us your list already. We've posted a whole bunch on our social media. You can see them on our Facebook page. You can see them on our Instagram. As I mentioned, we have the hashtag that you can follow, or you can see them all collected in our Insta stories. And we just thought we would share some of our staff lists here with you this episode.
I can't not hear it now.
That time he got it right.
I'm just what
hearing
do I
it
say?
Now. I haven't heard it before.
What do I say wrong? Mutual?
What? Mutual.
Yeah, I say mutual wrong.
Yes.
I've kind of owned it because I, like you said, I don't hear it.
Wait,
anymore.
What does it say it?
Mutual?
Mutual?
Mutual. Like you have a fund. It's a mutual fund.
We did a whole story about it.
Yes.
We did.
How do you say it, Julia?
Mutual?
That's like the center thing on your manual car.
Oh, yeah. He thinks I'm saying neutral.
Oh,
you are, okay. But with an M at the beginning.
Mutual. Yeah, I like can't fix that.
It's okay. We'll talk about it on the next Zode. Don't worry about it. We posted a couple staff top 10 lists already on our social media. For those on our staff who are not here with us tonight, I'll just give you a quick highlight.
Died.
It's like the Grammys. Couldn't make it tonight.
Oh, God, how funny would it have been to just have a chair that just said reserved for Tyler Gerken? With a picture of him like they do when they're like...
Yeah.
R.I.P. Wonder what us to do with his corpse.
He probably wants to like smoke it or something.
Smoke it, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So...
Am I wrong, Tyler?
Or like blown into a bowl, like made into glass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
He much rather that, probably.
Yeah, okay.
Remember last year when Brian got iced by his own fucking hand?
Yeah.
This year he's just pounding Johnny Walker from a bottle.
Yeah, what is that you're drinking over there?
That is Johnny Walker White Walker.
See?
From Game of Thrones.
Ah.
Shit was delicious.
You saved your Game of Thrones whiskey for the podcast.
You know.
Appreciate that.
All right. Let's do it. Okay, number 10, Black Market Brass, Undying Thirst.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. Number 9, Covet with Technicolor.
Shout out to Russ Hanusik, who I sure hears us saying those words out loud, and nipples are full erect right now.
His ears are ringing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had never heard that band, and I bought it because Russ and Greg Cerny both pre-ordered it, and I was like, well, they like good music. Let me try this out. And it was a fucking... That shit ripped.
That's a great thing about independent record stores and people. Mm-hmm. Like, we love finding out about new things, and we love being recommended things.
Hell yeah.
So thank you, Russ and Greg.
Yeah, Greg's Thanks, definitely Russ and recommended Greg. Stuff to me. Mm-hmm. Just always been sick.
Number 8, Monophonics, It's Only Us.
I couldn't get down with that one, really.
No?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, I need to play it again. But when we first got it, I just felt like, it's okay.
But I played it again today.
The coal mine stuff, I just didn't grip me as like some of the other stuff has.
Coal mine just fucking crushed it this year.
Coal mine's cool.
They just put out so much shit. So much cool shit. And speaking of, number 7, Ghost Funk Orchestra, An Ode to Escapism.
Wait, so 7, 8, and 10 were all coal mine releases.
Yes, they were. Love you, coal mine.
What happened to the soundtracks, bro?
We'll get there. We're not in the top 5 yet.
Brian's cheating on wax.
I don't know. I can predict a couple more things on his list, I think, and I think there's going to be more coal mine.
I do have to say there are 0 soundtracks on my list this year.
Our baby boy's all grown up.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. Don't
get me wrong. Khrushchev fucking... over here.
Yeah. Some tight soundtracks this year, don't get me wrong.
Did you do a favorite soundtrack?
Yes.
Addendum to your... Okay.
Yes.
Nice.
Actually, I'll just tell you that
It's
now,
its own top 10.
Now that we're, that we're talking about that.
Okay.
Favorite soundtrack was Friday the 13th Part 7, The New Blood. That shit was awesome.
I'm a Jason Takes Manhattan kind of guy, personally.
I got that one, too, and that one also fucking rips.
Okay. So.
Number 6, Run the Jewels, RTJ4.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
This is... the first year that a hip-hop record has ever made my top 10.
Baby Boy's all grown up.
Yeah. That fucking record was so good.
So good.
And
so
literally, good. Like, it wasn't even
so
one of those...
good.
It was so good.
RTJ so good.
It, like, wasn't even one of those things that I had to warm up to. Like, literally the first time we dropped the needle on it, like, I was like, whoa, what the fuck is this? And then we just kept playing it. God, that record's so good.
Yeah.
Number 5, The Black Dahlia Murder. Verminous. I mean, you can't go wrong with Detroit death metal. They've never put out a bad album. Number 4, shout out to JB. Elder, Omens.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. That record is so good. It's just...
It's a great fucking record.
Right?
Yeah.
Another one I can't get down with, really.
Yeah?
It's fine, but I like some of the other ones much more than this one.
This is the one we listened to the other day. Lore. That was a good one.
Lore's
a great one.
Really good.
I mean... I'll talk about Elder when I get to my list. Spoiler alert.
Right. Top 3. Number 3. Jason Isbell on the 400 unit. Reunions. Goddamn. I think when we were closed and it was just me and JJ here, we listened to that record at least once a day.
Probably more.
Yeah. Like, we would play that several times a day because it was so fucking good. And then we got the CD originally, and we just essentially kept it on repeat.
Yeah, that was a cool one, actually, from 2020. So, Jason Isbell... He went out of his way to send a promo CD out to stores that were shut down just to give him something to look forward to.
Hell yeah.
And we had it, what, like 2 or 3 months before the record actually came out,
which is
pretty fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jason Isbell. He's a good man.
Good
that
guy.
Cool. Shout out.
Mm-hmm.
We know you're listening.
We know you're out there.
Well, I want to have my millennial buzzword as well. Mood. Vibe.
Nicely done.
Aesthetic.
Yes.
Aesthetic's
good.
Like after me. That's like my like 11-year-old cousin, which we talked about this. They use
They're adding more syllables.
They're like, it's so aesthetic. I'm like, you're saying that word wrong.
Don't
and then I was like, damn,
it.
I'm Justin. Right? I talked about this.
You're
right?
Welcome.
And you're like, welcome to the club.
Yeah. This is the first one of many, so don't get too hung up on it. Just let them ride.
Yeah. That happened in 2020, actually. I was like, what?
Eventually, you just reach, like, grouchy old man status, and anything that anyone that's younger than you does, you're like, Jesus fucking Christ, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I'm definitely halfway there. Okay, sorry to interrupt you.
No, quite all right.
Mm-hmm. Your list is on fleek, by the way.
Quick, good.
Nicely done.
People still say on fleek.
Not really.
Best, yeah.
Not really, yeah. But...
JV's gone over the mountain at this point.
Yeah, you're like... Yeah, that's a... It's a okay. I give you points.
No, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
JB's just that give a stiff Buscemi that's like, what's up, fellow kids? Yeah.
I've got my lingo that I know. I stick with it.
Stick with it.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't try anything. I don't think I've tried new lingo since like 2001. It just doesn't flow off the tongue correctly.
Look, and then you'll turn 40 and you'll say on fleek and everyone just like cringes immediately.
Jesus,
it's like,
man,
oh God, stop. Stop talking.
All right, number two, Svalbard. When I die, will I get better?
Wow, that, number two.
Number two, that shit came out at like the end of September and it just ripped way the fuck up on the list. Holy crap, that album is awesome.
Yeah, that really good.
That's the Tom pick.
Melodic hardcore.
Yeah.
Tommy Boy turned me onto that record. He brought it in on like a Thursday morning when you and me normally play metal and he was like, I think you guys might like this, and holy shit was he right.
Mm-hmm.
God damn.
No, it was good.
Yeah,
it's a good record.
When Brian put it on, I was like, I couldn't recognize who it was, but I was like, who is this?
Yeah, that album
is good.
Fucking great. Mm-hmm. And my number one pick. Record I have bought three copies of.
I'm clapping.
Misery Signals, Ultraviolet.
Nice.
Misery Signals is my favorite band of all time. And when they announced they were putting out a record this year with their original singer, I might have got a little hard. might have creamed a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Might have done some other things that were questionable. But.
So you're saying this record is a Gene Creamer?
Oh, 1,000%.
Can I make a sticker that we put?
Yeah.
And it's like a fucking, it's like a hype sticker that we do for certain, like Brian's picks of the year. And it's 1,000% Gene Creamer.
No. Other way around. You have to say, it has to be like he did it with the Oxford comma. Gene Creamer, comma, 1,000%.
I have several pairs of jeans that can attest to this.
Can it just like also be a picture of Brian's face like,
with just denim behind him. That's all.
Oh, that album is just so fucking good. Woo. It's just so good. God damn it. God damn it. Yeah, that's all I can say. God damn it. It's just, they didn't disappoint. You know, a lot of bands, they come back and they're like, hey, we're going to put out a record with old, you know, the old singers or
totally.
Old thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, it just, they try and get by on the hype of that. And this one really just delivered. It sounds like a band that enjoys playing together. You know what I mean? Like people that have been friends for over 20 years still playing. So
you can definitely hear that shit on a record. And that is like a thing also that I appreciate. Like I hear a record and I'm like, they fucking love playing this record.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's not just a bunch of people in a room with instruments, you know. It's like,
right,
let's see what we can create together rather than just
there's,
we're
there's
writing
some magic
songs.
There.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. So yeah, that's my number one, and that's the top 10 for me.
Good top 10, Brian. Well
Thank
done.
You.
Woo!
Good job.
Ow.
Good job, Brian.
Ow.
Way to read. Becca, you want to do one?
Sure. We've now reached the trash section of the podcast. Okay.
This list, of course, you can read along on our Instagram page.
Yes. Number 10 is Blue October, This Is What I Live For. I didn't fundamentally enjoy that the first couple of times. Are you laughing because of the song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't not think of it now.
Justin ruined one of the songs for me.
You're welcome.
He does that.
He's done that.
There's this fucking song in there. I assume the name of the song is Danger. Where he says, it's like post-chorus before it gets into the next verse, he's like, danger, danger.
For the record, that's not actually how he says it.
No, it's not.
But Justin has started singing it like that over every time it comes on in the chorus.
It went from like bad 70s TV robot to now I'm transitioning into Lil Jon as I do it.
Lil Jon.
Like, every time.
Danger.
Every time it's a surprise.
And like every time
it's pretty magical.
I just lose it.
That's the only reason Justin likes it when I play that record.
Yeah, that's true. It's like a danger.
I like the hand movements.
It's
like
sci-fi robot
danger
hands.
Will Robinson.
It's like that. I think we talked about this recently. That little 80s coin robot that would like lift its arm up and put the coin in. That's what I'm picturing when the song's on.
It's the only reason it's on my top 10. just to see Justin do that dance.
That was like that Google Dolls song. you didn't ruin it for me because I didn't like the song, but holy shit. Holy fucking shit.
What was it?
Wait, what song was it?
The chorus
is another one. She was
yeah, this is another one Becca was playing. And fucking, I don't. I,
the chorus is something.
Yeah, it was something like, will you be my wife or something like that. And he, and like the singer kept like repeating the line and fucking out of nowhere, Justin just goes, my wife. And that's it. I think about that at least once every 2 days.
Oh my god!
Too bad we didn't think of that. We could have had it made the mashup from whatever video came out for that Goo Goo Doll song with Borat in the foreground.
That album is from like 1998.
It's City of Angels, right? The City of Angels soundtrack.
That's from Dizzy Up the Girl.
Goo Goo Dolls was my first.
Other
concert.
Than in Brian's favorite movie, Twister.
Fuck that.
Or they did Long Way Down, which is actually a good song. I'll give them that.
Haste the Day did it better. Yeah, fuck Twister. He sucks.
Listen, Brian. Bill Paxton.
I don't...
Meatloaf. Fucking Philip Seymour Hoffman, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Was the female lead.
Helen Hunt?
Yeah, good movie.
No, bad movie. That was the first
You're out
movie.
Here raving about TMNT 1.
Because that fucking rules.
The fucking phone. Like, pump the brakes.
Twister is the first like memory I have of like seeing it in the theater as a kid and walking out and being like, that movie sucked. Like, I think that's the first memory I have of really seeing a shitty movie.
I think I know Twister. What mine was of that.
I know what mine was too.
Really?
Yeah.
At least the first one that comes to mind was Signs.
Walk out of Signs?
I didn't walk. I watched the whole fucking thing. But I laughed my ass off through the whole goddamn thing. As soon as that stupid alien comes out of the corner and goes, I just lost it. I just fucking lost it.
Mine was A Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger.
Mm, I've never seen that.
I've only seen parts of that.
I loudly talked in the theater about how bad it was, and then I walked out. Yeah, that was my. I was like, this sucks.
Yep.
And then I left.
Oh, it was bad.
Heath Ledger's still a babe, though.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Real one.
This could be a Dork Side podcast where we do an episode where we each watch a movie that we hated when we were younger and watch it now for like a you know a comparative critique.
That also before I get to the next section of my list that makes me want to bring up that number 10 and number 5 are the only male or male led artists on my list this year.
Hmm.
8 out of 10 of mine were women, which is fucking cool.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Feminism takes 5 steps back. 9 was Kesha's High Road, which wasn't like a musically great album, but was extremely enjoyable. It was one of the last ones on this list that came out pre-COVID. It came out, I think, like either end of January or February. And I just remember, like, driving around in my car, like, playing it really loud and singing and, like, just being really happy because it was, like, so upbeat, not knowing what was about to happen.
Yeah. Now I feel that.
You could probably just, like, hear the ominous music of the universe, like, happening outside of my car as I'm just, like, singing while I'm driving.
Look, hold on to that memory. Let that. If there's a memory to take out of 2020, let it be that.
Yep.
I'll cherish that for the rest of my days.
Thank you, Kesha.
Thank you, Kesha. 8 was Halsey's Manic, which was also pre-quarantine. That's like an interesting album. The features she chose were really interesting, but it's like some like hard hitters on there. I remember when You Should Be Sad came out, and it was not the song I thought it was going to be. And it's like one of those ones that like I felt the anger with her. So that's always cool. 7 is Jessie Reyes' Before Love Came to Kill Us. That's her first full-length album, and she has some cool features on there. She has a feature with or a song with Eminem where he sounds nothing like Eminem. But also imagine getting Eminem on your first album. That's like that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think she's younger than
I am. Does
he
rap on it? Or
he does.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it sounds nothing like him.
Maybe he sang or something.
Well, yeah. I feel like at this point he just kind of talks. He doesn't really even rap that much.
Isn't that what he always did?
At least like, I feel like in his beginning, you know, he used his high voice, like he like kind of the high pitched stuff.
Unpopular opinion, perhaps.
Uh-oh.
I fucking have never liked anything Eminem's done.
Me neither.
Nothing, huh?
Nothing.
Hmm. I'm like first two records, and then I don't give a fuck.
First record came out when I was in middle school, and like all the kids thought it was, you know, so like raunchy and whatever, great. I was like, No, this is fucking lame.
Fucking, fucking Justin walking around with Pink Floyd t-shirts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Yeah, I mean, you guys are lame.
Here's a Zappa record.
You want nasty, here's Zappa.
You want raunchy, listen to Chic Your Booty.
Justin, like, so advanced at
12. Was like, let me help you guys with the culture.
Yeah, no one cared about what I had to say.
Six was Haim, Women in Music, Part 3. Great fucking album.
That was a big one for us this year.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
That was a big one.
They're awesome.
I was going to say, those fucking signed posters.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Holy fuck. I did not expect that response to those.
Shit, man.
Yeah.
There's some cool women. One of them has her PhD in rocket science, and they're still out here just putting out cool fucking records.
Hell yeah.
They have a whole song dedicated to, like, really just wanting to make music and, like, digging down, and then people, like, interviewing them and asking them stupid fucking questions because they're women. Mm-hmm. Specifically, SD Haim makes really, like, gnarly faces when she plays the bass, and someone in a magazine asked her, "Do you make those faces in bed?" Which is something that anyone would ever ask a man that plays an instrument.
Wouldn't ask John Mayer if he makes those guitar faces.
No, everyone knows that he makes those faces.
Okay.
All right. So.
You think John Mayer is that good in bed that he has a reason to make those faces?
I know. He's been through a lot of girls, so they don't really stick with him.
He's probably
not that good in bed.
I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I agree with you.
But Julian, I'm just saying, went for John Mayer's throat.
I'm just saying he makes a face.
The high school.
He's just like, all right. It's a quick face, you know?
Every lead guitarist makes that dog rubbing their ass on the carpet face when they're fucking. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
Please don't do a deep dive on the Dead Empire's Instagram. Please.
Like,
even this guy right here.
No one ever says anything about their faces. No,
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, literally, like, every fucking lead guitarist, like, makes that horrible face.
Or bassist.
Why would
you know?
Like, why?
Yeah.
Why do you need to ask that question?
Yeah, stupid.
People are fucking weird, man.
Yeah.
But that's my general consensus of humanity. People are fucking weird, man.
Yeah. They just, like, don't know what to ask.
Not like, let's talk about this incredible music that you guys make. It's like, let's talk about your stupid bass face.
That just, like,
faces.
Triggered me. So I'm like, what the?
Your bass face.
Slap a da bass.
If I didn't have my mascot, I would make, like, the Billy the Bass.
I just tried.
Then I have bad news if we ever interview Haim on this podcast. We're definitely going to talk about, like, butts and shitting.
Well, yeah, but the difference is we talk to everyone about that.
Yes.
We're all
inclusive. That's a quality. Yeah.
Like, you come on knowing what you're going to talk about when you come on the
podcast.
I guess
you
don't.
It's
just
going to
be some random.
Yeah, most people show up and go, what are we doing here?
Yeah. We'll find out together.
It's going to be a fun time for everyone.
Yeah.
They did this thing over COVID where they would lead Zoom classes of the dances that they do in their music videos, which are just, like, cheesy, stupid little dances, but taking advantage of an opportunity that maybe we wouldn't all have had otherwise. Number five is my one other male artist, which is Aesop Rock, Spirit World Field Guide, which also wins the award for all records best packaging this year.
It was good packaging.
Yeah.
It is so cool, and it is so clean and crisp and, like, A+. A+, Aesop. You did a good job.
Yeah. I like that he did the clear vinyl and then did the clear center label also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those labels were fucking clear, too.
Yeah, like, super fucking clear.
It wasn't like a foggy sticker on this ultra clear record. Yeah. They were crisp. And then, like, the slightly off center holes, so that looked like one of those little hypno things when the record spins.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A+.
Aesop.
A+, Aesop. Presumably that is your given name. Mr. Rock.
Mr. Rock. That's Mr. Rock to you.
I don't know you on a personal level. I will refer to you as Mr. Rock.
Julia has now peed 3 times.
You have a medical issue.
That's our Julia UTI update for the episode. Continue. All right. Sorry.
Number 4 is The Chicks' Gaslighter. I am the biggest Chicks fan. This is the first album they put out in 13 years, so that was really exciting. Really well produced, really awesome. Didn't really, like, progressed in their original sound without getting too far away from it. You know, took to heart everything that people were saying, did the name change. Jack Antonoff produced. which makes 3 out of 4 of the top 4 of my albums Jack Antonoff produced.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good one. I told a guy that I was under the impression the Chicks are the most punk rock band in America because they are the first victims of cancel culture. And he said that he had no choice but to agree with me because I had more nose rings than him. So, so that's that on that.
That's awesome.
That's how I vet men now. 3 is Dua Lipa, Future Nostalgia.
Sold the shit out of that.
And yeah. We listened to that together. Remember that?
Not really.
Wait, no.
I remember we listened to it. I can't tell you anything about it.
In the words of What the Kids Say, that album is a fucking bop. It's so catchy.
I hate that one.
Don't Start Now is the catchiest song that came out this year. You will not be hearing otherwise.
I like that one. And what's the other big one on there?
Physical.
Yeah, that one.
Physical. Physical.
Wrong song. Wrong decade.
Physical.
Wrong year.
Who are you talking to?
That's true. I'm looking at JB going, wrong year.
Weirdly enough, there's another song on the album that sounds like that, and I can't remember which one it is now.
It's Physical.
Yeah. It's not Physical. It's a different one that has that same like melody, but that's not the lyrics. The other day, I tried flossing in front of Zach, and I thought he was going to kill himself.
I thought you meant like actual flossing.
No.
What the fuck, Zach got against dental hygiene, yo?
He's a kid and he's a punk. He don't care about flossing.
Yeah.
Either kind.
No, that's what I was like.
When people say bop, I just think of Kids Bop. And then it all makes sense because it's like children saying it.
They were oh my God, do you think that's where it came from?
Yep.
Like if a song was popular enough to get on Kids Bop, is that where that fucking came from?
That's the etymology right there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, my mind's blown.
Okay, then somebody explain to me Slaps because that's fucking awful.
Oh, that's Slaps? Yeah.
Awful. I heard you say it once this year at some point.
He always tries them out. I appreciate the effort, though.
I might have dry heaved behind the counter.
My job is done here.
Silently.
You're welcome.
It gets me once every podcast. Everyone.
Yeah. JB got me with the whole ashes thing because I started crying. So that's all right. Check. See, there he goes. There he goes. It's the Game of Thrones scotch. Talking.
Someone give Brian a ride home. That's all I know.
Someone call him an Uber.
I only have 2 left, and I will simultaneously project them into the universe. Both number 1 and 2 are Taylor Swift. Number 2 was technically Folklore, and 1 was Evermore. These albums were fucking great. They surprised me, but... They surprised everyone. I like Taylor Swift's music on the whole, but these albums were so different than anything she's ever done. They were very raw. They were like very pared down, less radio pop and more like authentic pop, which is normally more of what I listen to anyway. Like, I'm not like above saying that I'm a slut for pop music, but it's generally more like sad girl pop than like the stuff that Taylor Swift puts out. And these, you know, hit me right in the sad little soul. Both albums had duets with Bon Iver, and they were both sad.
Not surprisingly.
That's a pretty good song.
There was one for each album.
I like the one customer came in. And he was, like, from Staten Island. He's like, oh, yeah. And he saw our Bon Iver, like, over here. And he was like, oh, yeah, Bona. Oh, wait, that's not a Staten Island accent. That's, like,
that was Canada.
Can you continue in that accent?
Yeah. He was like, oh, yeah. He can't do it. He was like, Bon Iver.
Yeah.
And so, I was sliding his Mariah Carey vinyl back to
Anyway, now Bon Iver belongs to the 13-year-olds that listen to Taylor Swift. Yeah. Bad news, guys, we've lost him.
But, and of course, Taylor was cool enough to provide signed copies of the CD only to independent record stores.
I don't know how that happened for you guys, but I know for a lot of stores that was a surprise. I don't know if you were solicited for them here, but I know a lot of places the first box that turned up was not planned.
No, it's bullshit.
Is it?
Yeah, they just that social media.
Well,
marketing.
That's cool.
You have, marketing they're not forcing you to buy something, and let it be known, we did have to buy them. They weren't just Taylor giving them us to free,
so
which was
asked.
A misconception on a lot of people's parts.
Yes, so many people asked me.
Taylor just sent
that.
Us these.
But yeah, to I was be like, fair, I no.
The contract that we signed did say that when we opened the box, we had to go, oh!
Maybe it was just like her local store then, because I could see her doing that.
It was very quick. Like, it
yeah.
Was,
well, I mean, everything was very quick.
I believe it was... like a Friday or something like that when they said, hey, this is a thing. Do you want them? They'll be there Monday. And I said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were
just
here.
Yes,
and,
period.
I mean.
And then there was that whole thing where a girl accidentally got a box full of Taylor Swift signed CDs that was intended for a record store.
That's
and fun. She actually brought them back to the record store.
I thought it was just that she signed for them because she was there in line before they opened.
Someone got a box delivered to her, their house them.
A second one.
Yeah, there was another story where like people had lined up at some store. I can't remember which one. And the UPS driver came and the store wasn't open yet. And he just handed the box to the girl in the front of the line.
What the fuck?
Shout out to our UPS driver. Thanks for
not doing
not
that.
Not doing that.
Yep.
FedEx, you're on my list. Yeah. As everyone knows, when I actually got my Folklore record, now everyone else has had to listen to it a lot of times too. Mostly just in the weekend that we were closed in December. I'm very sorry.
That's fine. It's a fine album. It's, you know, she's got that sort of, it's, I don't, I guess it's unfair. I probably heard every Taylor Swift record before, but it's her most adult record for sure. It's
That's
not
what
just
Aaron
a straight
said
up
too.
Pop record. It's, she's got a little bit more of a message and I don't know what's going on with Taylor, but mm-hmm. something.
That was like
I mean, the whole legal battle that she went through this year, I feel
yeah.
like
oh,
a
yeah.
part of it.
Yeah.
That's, and also, you know, this is the record that made us all go, Taylor Swift said fuck.
We did do that.
I didn't know she
there was
did
another
I did more
like
of a,
that.
And said Taylor Swift said fuck in that
Twice.
Same voice.
Yeah.
Did you say, Brian?
What the fuck was that other record that was like that this year? Was it Mandy Moore?
Mandy
said Moore's. Fuck? That sounded exactly like
it,
a Fleetwood
was,
Mac record.
Yeah, like it was like,
oh.
like a pop. Artist came out and made a record.
No, you guys
and
are confused.
Wait, yeah. Also, Brian, you listened to Mandy Moore?
Yeah, we listened to. There was a
yeah,
Mandy
there was
Moore record
no. here. Yeah,
no.
Who
it's
was
it? Margo Price? Your thing? Yeah.
Nope.
Mandy
nope.
Moore did come out with an album this year.
It was Mandy Moore's album. When it came in, we put it on, and I normally write off pop singers. It's just me. Sorry, pop singers. But this when we put it on, I was. Genuinely impressed. I was like, holy shit, this is not what I
was
expecting.
Just like a super
adult
sounding record. It was very like Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, super
it
70s
her,
influence.
Right?
Yeah.
Also, we had the same conversation about the Margo Price record.
Also, weird cameo of the year, Sturgill Simpson was on Kesha's new album.
Really?
Well, Sturgill.
Hmm.
Weirdest cameo of the year.
I don't know, from Sturgill, though, he does a lot of shit that I wouldn't see coming from him, like releasing an anime fucking movie that his
True.
Album is the soundtrack to. I have no fucking idea what to expect from that guy ever.
Did
Which
you
is
watch
a compliment.
That movie?
I think
he
likes it
very
that
strange.
Way. I like the record more than I like the anime.
Agreed.
The record's
yeah, no,
good.
The record's good, yeah.
I like the hentai more than the record.
Yes. Sturgill tentacles.
Sturgill, if you're listening, feel free to go ahead and make
it's
that happen.
It's Cutting Ass Volume 1, not Cutting Crap.
Nice.
Patent pending. Well, that's our porn parody now. No one can take it. Oh, hey, I'm getting a call right now. Hang on. Let's see what's happening. This is JB.
Hi, can I place an order for delivery, please?
What would you like, sir?
Do you have any PS5s?
Hey, Girk. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What you guys doing?
You know, just here. We're talking about Taylor Swift and porn parodies and the forthcoming Sturgill Simpson hentai.
Oh. Cut an ass.
Yeah!
Whoa!
He does work here.
Whoa!
That's exactly what I said,
Taylor.
That is awesome.
Did you Cheers. Text him? He did, didn't you?
That was crazy. No one's going to believe that. Everyone's going to think that's planned.
It's too stupid to have planned that.
Yeah, oh my
you know?
God. Damn.
I truly would not be an employee if I did not.
That's true. In fact, Justin would have fired you if you didn't.
You guys doing some list? Because I found a list right here.
Whose list did you find?
Whose list? Ty's list. It's my list.
Well, yeah, man. Yeah, go for it.
All right, cool. Coming in at number 10, shout out to Beacon's own Tony E with La Tienda. Coming in at number 5, the Fearless Flyers with Tailwinds. Thank you to Billy Fields for that one. Number 8, Sturgill Simpson with Cutting Grass Volume 1. I might be a bluegrass fan.
Uh-oh.
More to come. We're going to find out. Probably not, though.
Wait till you hear about Brian's picks. It's a whole thing.
Number 7, I got Benny the Butcher with Burden of Proof. That's Benny the Butcher of Griselda up from Buffalo. Them boys are making noise. That was a rhyme. I've gotten into two things this year, and that is, or three things, a little bit of bluegrass. I got into Buffalo hardcore hip hop, and I got into New Orleans funk.
Hell yeah.
Those are three good things to get into.
All right. So Benny the Butcher from Buffalo, Burden of Proof. Number 6, RTJ, RTJ 4.
We all did a fist up in the air when you said that.
Oh, yeah. Run the Jewels. Was so stoked that they came out with another album. Hopefully they're not done.
Yeah.
Number 5, I got West Side Gun with Pray for Paris, another Buffalo guy from Griselda. He's weird. He had a song, one of the last songs on the album. He said, tap dancing on the brick, like, you know, drug talk. And then he had an actual tap dancer record over the beat. And I just thought that was, that was weird, but it was awesome. Number 4, Tom Misch, Yousef Days, What Kind of Music. Love that album. JB knows what's up.
True.
Number 3, Phoebe Bridgers with Punisher. Phoebe owns my ass. Number 2 is the third Griselda member, Conway the Machine, from King to a God. Griselda, they all got great hip-hop names. To cap off, that was Benny the Butcher, West Side Gun, and Conway the Machine. And number 1, I got Freddie Gibbs and Alchemist with Alfredo. Big hip hop year for me. Returning to my roots, if you will. I can say that with a straight face. That's why I called it. Like I said, with the New Orleans funk, shout out to the Record Store Day re-release of Wild Chapatulas.
We wild.
We wild Chapatulas. Wild.
What a great album, and it definitely opened me up to that entire cult, like, subculture, the New Orleans Indians and Neville Brothers and the Meters. So that was pretty cool. Thanks, RSD.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Did you get that order?
So that'll be 1 PS5, extra anchovies, no cheese.
Yes, please.
Got it.
Cheese comes on top?
Yes.
I send it back.
With a side of Alfredo.
That'll be 30 minutes.
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
Well, you guys have a good night, and I will make sure to tip the delivery driver.
Beautiful. Thanks, Kirk.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Bye,
guys. See you tomorrow.
He hung up already.
Oh, okay. He'll send me.
What hilarious timing for Kirk to call.
Yeah.
Well done.
Oh, he actually did call. Okay. I just saw you were like, oh. No. You're like
doing a bit.
You know, like you were texting him like, okay, let's just pretend.
I hate to be the bearer of bad employee news, but I was the mole. I've been texting him this whole time.
Did you tell him about cutting ass?
So no, you're that Anderson. Okay.
About. That was all okay. Girk.
Like, oh, the magic is ruined.
All right. Well, I'll do my list.
Okay. Then I'll pee.
Then you'll pee? Is this number 4?
No, I'm going to pee because I didn't know if I was going next.
The fourth time. Pee number 4?
Yeah. Well, I can wait.
Julia, this you always have to pee or you're going to get a UTI.
I know. This always happens to me. Not the UTI thing, but just, when we do the podcast, like, I always got to go. I don't know.
What's that line in Liar Liar?
Oh, hit me.
Stop breaking the law, asshole!
No. Or he's like, Your Honor, I need to take a short bathroom break. And then he's like,
can
why?
I've never seen that,
wait?
But I feel
guess
that.
It can. But I've heard that holding it can permanently damage the urethra, making it hard to become erect or even become aroused. Is that true? It has to be.
And he goes, well, in that case, let's take a short recess.
Okay.
Sorry, we're just reciting Liar Liar right now.
You could have peed in the time that it took us to do that whole Liar Liar bit.
Can it wait? Yes, it can.
So for mine, I'll start with my miscellanea. Mm. I didn't pick a favorite soundtrack this year.
Amateur move.
2020. I genuinely was trying to think of, like, did I even buy a soundtrack this year? Normally, there's at least like one a year that you and I connect on, Brian.
Was They Live this year, or was that last
I think
year?
It was. I think it was on my list last year.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I do have the ability to physically look at my list from last year.
I guess that's true. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that might have been last year.
Last year, my favorite soundtrack was, in fact, They Live.
Oh, okay.
Oh, this is a good list. Although, in hindsight, looking at my list from last year, Lizzo should have been way higher on the list. Mm. Yeah, I couldn't think of a soundtrack that came out this year that I really enjoyed. But also, to be fair, the entire movie industry did pretty much get shut down this year.
That's true.
So
that's very true.
Rough year for movies.
Yeah.
So, shout out Story Screen. Miss you
Booyah.
Guys. I'll say my favorite reissue was Deftones' White Pony 20th anniversary. Because I really appreciated the remix and remaster that they did. I was telling Justin about this, but I listened to that when I was home. For whatever reason, decided that this was the year I was going to download FLAC audio files and try out high-quality digital files and see if I actually felt if there was any kind of difference compared to, you know, like other digital files that I have.
For some reason, I'm just picturing you sitting in a room in the pitch black playing the same song over and over.
There were lights, okay?
I know. For some reason in my head, it was just pitch black, so all you had was audio.
The rest of it is true. The rest of it is true. Yeah. I definitely had iTunes up over here and then the Vox player over there. And I would like listen to one and then listen to the same song on the other. And I will say, truthfully, I do feel like it made a difference. I did, especially the White Pony, going back and listening to, you know, what I thought were, like, I had, you know, high quality MP3 rips, which are still heavily compressed and downgraded. But hearing between the two, I did think that the quality of those digital files was better, and just the remix is really good. Like, it is a significant sonic improvement to the record on a bunch of levels, and they left in, I don't know whether it's something that they cut out for whatever reason or added on, but there were parts to songs that weren't on the original version. So, like, a couple alternate vocal takes, and one song had a whole, like, where they reprised a part at the end doubly long.
That's cool.
So, you know, and I don't know what the creative process was at the time when they released it, if they, you know, cut it out for whatever, or if someone, you know, at a label made a decision or whatever, but I find all that shit really interesting, and I love hearing that, and then also sort of, like, pondering it, and in theory, learning about it, and learning why they cut it, and why they made their creative choices, but... That was one where I listened and really spent a lot of time thinking about the record and thinking about it, you know, now 20 years later. And anyway, there's a vinyl reissue coming out too. That's also going to be good, but that's in February.
Just push up your glasses real quick.
Actually.
FLAC files. My honorable mention was Poppy, I Disagree. I don't know if anybody likes
that
Poppy.
Had really cool, I like the album art a lot.
That was a record that, for me, like, I must have listened to that record 50 times, 100 times this year. Like, I listened to it over and over again because it's so layered and so dense as far as the things that happen and the changes and what she puts on it, that it's like every time I would hear something new and I'd be like, holy shit, I never heard that before. Mm. Wow, that's really fucking interesting. And the like the kind of play with the songwriting and how it's produced and shit. It's such a goddamn interesting record. Great album. All right, my top 10. Number 10, I will say full disclosure, might be a conflict of interest because I helped them make the artwork for it. But Torrential Downpours 2020 is just a really ambitious, adventurous, playful, and really interesting metal record. And that's something for me when it comes to like heavy music. I want to be
titillated.
Yeah, I want to be like, mm-hmm. I want to hear different things. I want to be intrigued and pulled in by new stuff. I mean, I guess I like traditional metal as well, but you know, I want something to grab me and be strange and be weird or you know.
I can definitely relate to that when we get to my list. Not so, metal-wise, but like other way.
Sure.
We'll get to it.
So it's not just on there because I was so pleasantly surprised with things they did on it, but it's also just, you know, fucking outstanding album. So go check them out. Number 9 was Metz, Atlas Vending.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
This was the year that I feel like I officially need to give an apology to Scott Delamore, or Delamore. I don't know how he pronounced his last name, but he has been telling me about Metz for at least 10 years. Maybe more than that. And I've been like, yeah, that's a band. Sure. I don't like sports. And I'm an asshole for not listening to you because this album is fucking great. And then I went back and listened to the old albums and holy shit, what a fucking band. So fucking good.
Yeah, I remember you played their new record. I was like, oh, that's what Metz sounds like?
I saw them play in Grimey's like 5 years ago. Did an in-store. Wasn't for me.
That's what JB's hype sticker would say. Holy shit, what a fucking band.
I like it better if it said, not for me. I have the anti-hype sticker. Mine is the negative review sticker.
Yeah, let's have anti-hype stickers in 2021.
No, 2021's all positive, baby. All positive. Yeah.
So it should be all of our hype stickers with JJ's anti-hype sticker underneath it. Wasn't for me.
Number 8, Fiona Apple. Fetch the Bolt Cutters.
Yes. Outstanding album. That was this year. Holy shit.
Yeah. That was this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, just, I can talk about it when it's on my list.
Yeah. Same.
Spoiler alert.
So good. So good. Number 7, Deftones Ohms. I guess I have 2 Deftones picks on my list this year, but.
Shocker.
Good album by the Deftones.
I kind of liked it.
I'll take that.
That's his hype sticker.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have strong feelings about the Deftones one way or another. I've never bought anything, but I don't mind listening to them when they're on. I've seen them live. They're pretty good live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was pretty good.
We sold it a lot.
We sold it.
That's going to be possibly Julia's top 10 this year, I would guess.
Yeah, I think so. We sold a lot of indie.
A lot of gold.
Oh, yeah.
And this was another one that was, I learned a lot about the Deftones. I watched a whole Deftones documentary and about how they write songs and what their sort of interpersonal relationships are like, and learned a lot of interesting facts about albums and who writes what and what happened during the recordings of them. I had a lot of free time in 2020. That's really, I guess, what I'm saying. And the Deftones,
That documentary was called Def Jams.
That was the Tone Zone.
The Tone Zone.
Tone Zone Zode. That'll be our next episode.
Tone Zone.
Number 6, Hum Inlet.
Oof. Damn, that album.
Yeah, that was a good album.
Their first album in like 21
Easy,
years
Randy.
Or something like that.
Randy Betterman over there.
It makes me want to dance every time it comes on.
I think it was Brian's honorable mention that he didn't mention.
Yeah.
But just like that one was because they released it digitally at first. And obviously they did a vinyl press that we were selling here in store. But when they fucking released it, I was like, yeah, I'll give it a listen. And I hit play, and I remember like the first 5 seconds, I was like, holy fuck, this is so good. And it's rare that a record like right out the gate grabs you like that.
Sorry.
So well done, Hum. Number 5, Intronaut, Fluid Existential Inversions. No one here is an Intronaut fan. That's fine.
That was just a lot of really big words.
Yeah. That was like a science project.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about existentialism being fluid.
So great album. What would you like about it?
It just...
slapped.
It fucking slapped.
It's a
it
bop.
Slapped. It had a couple bops.
Had a couple bye Felicias.
Easy, Karen.
It's just something I would like expect from you to just like throw all the lingo out.
We're just saying lingo now. We're just throwing any random lingo. Okay.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
Mm-hmm. Just the fucking great band. I don't have a huge in-depth analysis of it. It's just a great fucking album. And shout out to Dunnable Guitars for making sweet guitars. Number four, All Them Witches, Nothing as the Ideal. I really liked All Them Witches' last album, and this one, when it came out, I think I told Brian about this, this was my number one on my list for a good chunk of this year.
Yeah.
I fucking bumped this record.
Bopped it even.
I was trying to, I'm sorry.
No bump, death.
I played that record so much. It's another one that's just really interesting, creative songwriting. It's just really good.
I'm pretty sure the promo is even still in the CD player, so it just comes
I think it's
on.
Not. I think it's floating outside of the it's thing getting scratched now.
I appreciated when it was just floating in the CD changer, and it would just randomly come on during the day, and I'd be like, yes. number three, me and Girk share this one. Tom Misch, Yusuf Diaz, or Days. I don't know how to pronounce the last name. What Kind of Music? This year, if it was not for COVID, should have been the year of Tom Misch. Because that fucking album is great.
Wait, why did COVID change that?
Because nobody toured and
no.
every album got totally fucked in terms of its releases and marketing and everything.
I just wanted to know what specifically happened to Tom Misch.
I feel like this record should have gotten more. Should have gotten more more juice out of the year. Shitty timing.
Yeah.
Number two, Elder Omens.
Yeah.
Like Brian was saying, new record. And the way that I kind of look at this record to me is like a different band. So when I listen to it, like you were saying, compared to older records, you have older ones that you like. I think that Reflections on a Floating World is probably still my favorite album of theirs. I love all their old ones, but something about this, it was the same thing. Like I put it on and I was like, holy shit, what a different goddamn band. Like, this is, they took everything they did before. We're like, yeah, we're good. We're going to go over here now and just do this.
Yeah.
And that's what made me appreciate it extra. So it makes it difficult to compare to their older albums. Good band. And number one from JB4 is a four. Run the Jewels. RTJ 4. Number one.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah. When I went back and was writing my list, I went back and listened to that record and didn't stop listening to it after that. I listened to that record once a day, minimum, this whole year. It's so fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
It's my first ever hip-hop number one on a top 10 list. It is the fucking sound of 2020. This was the album that we needed in 2020. It like to me, this album like defines 2020. Killer Mike's verses on this album,
oh my god,
are goddamn life changing. Holy fuck, they're so good. I don't know if anyone else watched this. They did this thing for Adult Swim where they did a live performance where they just performed the whole album in its entirety. You know, in just like a studio, you know, to no one. They just performed it. It's so good, and they have so many good moments and so many things that watching that made me go, holy fuck, seeing this live would be so good. Like, there's this one part where Killer Mike stops and he just sort of like, they drop all the music and it's just him with like a big white floodlight and they freeze and then he just does the verse a cappella and it's so goddamn powerful. Definitely for me, this is the album of 2020.
I can see that. Some of those songs are really just like, whoa. You know what I mean? Like, you hear it and you're just like, holy shit. Like, you feel it, you know what I mean? Like, you really feel what those dudes are saying. And you're like...
And fucking LP's, his production, because I didn't super love the first three, and his production is so... It's so much more, like, psychedelic and strange, and each song builds, and the weird, like, layers that he throws into them. So, you know, it's like, as the song changes, it never repeats. It just, like, grows.
Yeah.
You know? And it's good.
Yeah. My dad sent in a couple... things to say from him.
Not the Delaney I thought was going to submit a list.
Yeah, she said she doesn't really have anything this year.
So
get her on the phone.
But my dad wanted me to point out, which I meant to tell you guys this. My dad got really into Nathaniel Radcliffe this year.
Hell yeah.
that was like a big one for him.
Love that for him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, me too. I was like, yeah, good for you, Dad. And camp.
He went to camp.
We used to.
Boot camp click.
We used to go up camp upstate. No longer. Camp but he got really into the band camp, too.
Hold you in our hearts.
And
thank you.
And he says his best, like his favorite old soundtrack, which I agree with, is from Dazed and Confused. Mm. So I appreciate it. I feel like he did that for me. He knows I love that. Okay. And then my list, most importantly, my list.
bold statement.
Fuck you, Dad.
No, I would never say that to him.
I'm just reading your face right now and saying it for you, so you don't get in trouble.
Okay, I'll segue into my favorite soundtrack of 2020,
mm-hmm.
was High Fidelity, the Hulu remake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really sad it's canceled.
Same.
But, that soundtrack was really good. That cover of I'll Make Love to You.
Oh, my God. I fucking love that cover.
Yeah.
And that holy cliffhanger shit. On the last episode, man.
Killer.
What the fucking season 2 would have been.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the soundtrack is really good. Also, Mono did it, right?
Nucleosis?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mondo Nucleosis.
My favorite reissue was PJ Harvey's Rid of Me.
Woo!
That was so great, because in 2019, Justin put me on to PJ Harvey, and he was like, oh, well, all of our records are like hundreds of dollars. But all those reissues are great. I couldn't... Rid of Me was my favorite before, so that was just the default of me saying Rid of Me was my favorite reissue of hers.
Mm.
But the demos are great. Justin, you want to add on anything?
You're stealing thunder from my list right now, so I'll let you.
But number 10. So during the lockdown, I got really into RuPaul's Drag Race. Mm-hmm. Like in high school, I always really wanted to get into RuPaul's Drag Race and like know all the drag queens, like how like some dudes like know football players really well.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? So number 10 is Trixie Mattel Barbara.
Boom.
That one, Trixie, I love her so much. She is so funny. And she does more of like twangy like country songs, which is so not me. But she does it so well on the record. The songwriting's great because it's like a lot of the songs are actually like very emotional. And it's like almost like Brian, who is like Trixie. As well, it's like he really like comes out, and you like really get to know him. He spells it with an I too. Oh, so
that's not you. The guy's
you.
Name.
No, I thought you were saying you're comparing our Brian to Trixie Mattel.
Yeah. That's what I thought too. I was like, wait, what happened?
Brian is the unmanifested drag queen on the staff here.
Boom. Oh my God, Brian! I would freak out if you were. I'd be like, yes.
Funny story about that.
Oh.
When I first started college, I went to Dutchess, and I was a communications major. And for the project at the end of the year, we had to break off into teams, and everyone like told like an embarrassing or like a funny story or whatever. And then there was two teams, and we each picked the funniest story, and each team made a video about it. So the one that got picked was this guy John, about how I don't know, he was like. He, like, just had a breakup or whatever, and he was driving down the street, and, like, he was just, like, singing to himself, getting, you know, belting it out, getting himself to feel better. So he had this dance music all the way up, and he's dancing in the car and stuff like that, and he looked next to him, and there was just this whole group of girls in the car next to him, and they just spotted him, you know, doing his shit, and they all laughed at him, so he felt even worse that night. So we decided, for some reason, that to remake this video, the three girls in the car were going to be the three hairiest dudes in the class. And I'm a very hairy man, so we all dressed up in drag, and I look pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
I love that for you.
I had like a Tina Turner, like,
yes.
like red frilly kind of dress.
Yes.
Brian,
some
I'm
nice,
really
some nice lipstick.
Can we see this? Where can we?
I know.
I'm
hell?
Sure it's at the
we
archives
of Dutchess. We have a
Dutchess.
Stage here.
It's
pretty good. Had
drag
a
shows. We should start doing drag shows.
I meant the original video. That's. I will do all all of those things.
Brian needs to get back at it.
Okay.
I feel like
Brian. I know a Brian you can talk to.
Looking good.
Any spells, Brian with an eye like you.
That's the crew.
So anyway, love you, Trixie. I know you're listening. Okay, and then number 9. It's kind of for principal. They're on here.
I know who this is going to be.
Yeah, it's the 1975. No, it's not in conditional form. It was a record.
Sure was.
Oh.
I think that's my core right now.
How
the mighty have fallen.
Where do I even begin with this?
So it was not a doobie-dabba-doobie-dabop.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, also, world. When I played in the store the first time, Justin was like, okay, where is the ba 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 ba? Like, where... But, yeah, there's some, like, great songs on there. Like, there's just some great songs. But, like, you know, I skip a whole side. Also, I was supposed to see them open up for... Well, Phoebe Bridgers was supposed to open up for MSG. But that got canceled because 2020.
Ooh.
So... Now I'm just, like, in my feels. Cause I'm like, damn. Anyway, number 8 is Fiona Apple's Fetch the Bolt Colors. That came out, like, in April, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the middle of quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
When wasn't that sooner?
She was one of the first ones that decided not to push back her album.
Yeah, maybe that's what
being released, and I remember that. Because I remember thinking, fucking good!
Yeah. Well, like, the vinyl didn't come out until, like, fucking July. Remember that?
Yeah, there was definitely a long gap between them.
Yeah. So The Strokes and Fiona's album came out, like, I think, like, a week apart or something. And if you know me, I'm, like, a huge Strokes fan. But, like, I listened to that record so, like, so much more. I just, like, completely skipped over The Strokes. It just made me feel so good. And, like, the songwriting was great. I just love that record. But I overplayed it. That's why it's so low. Number 7... I have Best Coast Always Tomorrow. I love Bethany. It's been 5 years since their last album, California Nights. She was talking about it leading up to the record, how it's like kind of like she's like a brand new person. Like she's like done with like toxic relationships and her addiction and like all that stuff. And like it was just like a great record of her just being like so open about it and how like you can move on from like toxic relationships and like addiction. Like, and that was a great record. I love Bethany and Best Coast. And also, I watched their 10-year anniversary of Crazy For You. They did a streaming of them performing in its entirety. And that was really fun. Because I almost didn't do it because I was like, oh, that's kind of dumb. But then Justin told me he did the Nick Cave one. And he was like, yeah, it's cool. Like, you can like order wings, right? Didn't you like order
exactly.
wings or something?
I fucking got some wings.
Yeah.
I sat down on my couch with a beer and a thing of wings, and I just watched Nick Cave in my house.
Yeah, and then once Justin said that, I was like, okay, yeah. And I got wine and Chinese food.
There you go.
And it was fucking awesome. It was so fun. You didn't have to deal with people.
My beer didn't cost $15 for one.
Exactly.
One small beer.
Number 6 was Touche Amore's Lament.
What?
Lament.
What?
Lament.
Lament. We had a whole
like
conversation
said,
about this.
We had a whole
before.
Conversation about this. How, like, my default is saying lament because it's, like, more natural for me.
I heard lament. Like, they were, like,
lament.
Like, laminating.
Lament.
No, I was thinking, like, they're at a Greek restaurant and they're like, yeah, let's lament.
Wait, that's so funny. See, I told you. It's just, like, it naturally comes out. So I was like,
it's like you're thinking in order, like, yeah, I'm going to lament.
Yeah, Touche, they never change, and I love that about them. And they had that super cool feature with Andy Hull from Manchester Ooh. Orchestra.
Mm.
That song's so great.
I thought it was in Hole.
He's the fourth member. after Billy Corgan.
Whole deep cut jokes right there.
Oh, man.
You're welcome, one fan.
Okay, number 5, I have local, like, New Paltz, Brooklyn band, Nazca Plate with Cicada. They were technically my last show of 2020, if you count New Paltz shitty house shows.
I don't.
So, yeah. I kind of figured that, Justin. But, but yeah, But and also it was locally recorded in Hopewell Junction.
Mm. Anybody remember what the last show they saw was?
Yep. I actually just had this conversation with someone the other day. He is Legend at the Loft.
Ah.
Damn, they fucking ripped.
Mine was Torch, which is a pretty good send-off.
Mm, that is a good send-off. It's a good mustache.
Mine was... Okay, technically mine was Idols. We don't count like Nazca Plate.
What? You just demoted them, the whole thing you talked about.
Okay.
Just like, nah,
sorry.
Fuck it.
Sorry, Zach and the boys. It was a fun last, like, hurrah. It was, like, really weird because it was, like, we kind of knew, like, all right, this is, like, the last, like, house show.
We shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah. No, I know. My dad, it was, like, the day they, like, New Paltz, and I was, like, okay, you guys, like, go, everyone just go home. Like, we're doing everything online, and we all just had a house show. Like, we still, like, we're, like, yeah, like, we're going to go. And, like, my dad's, like, so you went to a house show last night when this was, like, all announced? And I was, like, yep. And he's, like, oh, okay. That was, you know, college kids.
Well, I remember I went the day before the shutdown. I went to see a movie at Story Screen because I remember calling Dan and going like, hey, we should go see a movie tonight. I feel like they're going to shut down movie theaters. Like it's just happening. And then so we went to see a movie and then literally the next morning was when everything shut down. And I was like,
Yeah. Man,
am I glad I went to see a movie. Holy
snuck that
shit.
In under the wire.
Yeah. Yeah. And
but that's how I feel about the house show. I'm like, okay, I'm glad I went.
Well, there was only three of us in the entire movie theater. It was just me, Dan, and Jenny, and that's
it. Okay.
So
it's not the same.
Right. There wasn't like
a crowd. It was like packed full of kids.
Yeah, I wasn't going to like a, you know, germ farm.
It was yeah.
A New Paltz
germ
basement.
Farm on the best of days.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's pretty germy.
I don't think I saw a movie or a show in 2020.
I don't think
really?
I remembered the other day that I think that there was a last show that I went to that I'm forgetting. Like, I'm under the impression in my head that the last show I went to was in November. But then the other day, like a few weeks ago, you know, because those are the same frame of time, I was like, oh, wait, I went to this after that show. But now I don't remember what it was.
I had to be reminded of mine.
Okay, number four is The Garden, Kiss My Super Bowl Ring. This one, you were saying before how, like... when a record is like so weird and you just notice something different every time you listen to it, that's this record for me. It like has, they're like technically like art punk for like all you pretentious listeners out there.
She did do air quotes when she said that.
Yeah. But like they do like screamo and like hip hop and just like a little bit of everything, but like they did it so great that it's, like, so entertaining and just kept me wanting to listen to it. And literally every time I listened to it, I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, didn't notice that before. Like, just, like, little things. And I was actually talking about this with a customer who bought their CD a couple weeks ago. And, like, The Garden's been around since, like, 2010, 2011, I think. Like, I've always heard of them. I was like, okay. And then, like, when this record came out, I was telling the customer, like, because he agreed with me, like, it was like, okay, like, The Garden, like, found their sound and it's awesome. So like that's good. And the it's only two guys and they're twins. They're twin brothers.
Whoa.
Which is cool.
Whoa.
Fletcher brothers, I think.
Bring that in. So let's do it. I'll put on Mr. Bungle and then we'll listen to that.
Yeah, it's weird. I only played it with Brian because I didn't want to get roasted.
I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah, see that's exactly why I played it with Brian. Because he's just like whatever.
I'll listen to anything. You know me.
I have it in my cubby, so okay, number three is Idols, Ultramano. Not the same as Joy as an Act of Resistance, because that album is, like, near perfect, but, also, since they were, like, my last concert of 2020, they still kill it. I don't care what, like, the reviews say. They got, like, too much hate.
Wait, what did the reviews say?
Oh, they got, like, a lot of people didn't like it, according to, like, Pitchfork and shit like that. But, yeah.
Who cares?
But who cares about them? Yeah. Exactly. And I love Idols, and I love what they stand for. So, you guys keep doing you. And then number two is Phoebe Bridgers' Punisher. Yes, I did purchase the Phoebe Bridgers sweatpants. And she does own my ass as well as Tyler's. And I guess the whole store, because we were all Phoebe Bridgers.
Absolutely.
On the second record store day.
Yep.
Halloween costume action there.
That was fun.
Yeah, no, I loved it. I just love this record so much. I spun it the most. I was thinking about like what I spun, like physically spun the most, and it mm-hmm. was her record. It was just so nice to put on, and it's Phoebe. She's great, yeah.
She great.
That was one of the ones that surprised me again this year, where, you know, things I don't normally listen to. And
yeah.
Then, like, it was just, like, on the store, and, like, the more I listen to it, I'm like, this is really good. And then I end up fucking buying the record. That's a great record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just good songwriting, good playing.
Really well mm-hmm. done. Just,
yeah, not on my list, but
yeah,
a great fucking record.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, agreed.
That's how I feel about the Run the Jewels. Like, it's not on my list, but I loved it, too. Okay, number one. The Strokes, The New Abnormal.
Okay. All
that shit coming.
Yeah. I know, guys, I know. Yeah, it just, The Strokes, they, you would think by now they would put out a bad record just because they've been in the game for so long, but no. They killed it. And also this, honestly, out of all their records, I think Julian sounds the best on it. He like actually sounds the best on it. And
well, he quit smoking, right?
Yeah, he quit smoking. He's like exercising.
That'll do it.
I don't.
Looking good.
That was like pre-COVID. I heard about that. So
you told me about that. To be fair, I'm...
So let's hope he's still not doing those things. But yeah, I loved it so much. And like some of those songs, like I was like, oh my god, like Bad Decisions. That was like my favorite song of 2020. I think it just like literally like almost made me like fall on the floor. Like it just made me feel like. So much. And The Adults Are Talking, that's like amazing album opener. And my dad also texted me to say that he thinks Bad Decisions sounds like the modern English song, which I'll Stop the World and Out With You, which I thought as well when I first heard it, but it's different. It's different.
It's different, Dad.
Yeah.
Me
and my dad already had this conversation off the podcast.
Off
but he wanted me to mention that's what he thought. Because he came home one day and he was like, listen, I heard that one Stroke
he
song.
He sat you down. Listen.
Yeah.
We need to talk.
Julia,
he was like,
we need to talk.
He's like, I think they ripped off modern English. And I was like, I see your point, Dad, but it's different.
You don't know anything, Dad,
but go to hell.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was my top 10. It was a weird year. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't
know. I don't know if you didn't do this for any of the other ones.
Yeah.
You guys
I was looking around like, what the fuck was that sound?
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were doing this.
Clapping.
You
were just like, what the fuck? Yeah. 2021, I hope you're better. That's all I gotta say. Also, I'm a Virgo. I didn't say that yet. I feel like it's obligatory. Someone's calling me.
That's weird.
Hello?
Hello?
Mom?
Hello?
He's used to being called that.
Oh my god. All the way from Colorado. Huh? It's...
Yes, that's me. Yeah.
How's the weed?
It's fantastic.
Wait, can you
that's
tell
all
me...
I
can Can you tell me,
hey, Drew? I'm so high right now.
Wait, yeah. Can you tell me truthfully how many times you've been to a dispensary since you moved there? I
guess.
Like one time.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I said that earlier. Thank you.
That's
I knew
a
it.
Noob.
Yeah, Audrey's probably already been more than me.
Audrey's definitely been more than me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
She like goes like every week. I would.
Well,
like
so
this.
We're here to do it.
Hell
yeah. Do you have any sort of lists you just want to tell us about?
List? Oh, I don't know. What should I rank?
Oh, my.
Just start reading your grocery list.
Wait, I have to pee again.
Go pee.
Jeez,
come on,
thank
Julia.
This is my fifth time, by the way.
Julia's on pee break number 5 of the UTI report.
The UTI
Jeez.
Report.
She got a problem.
You're telling us.
Can you, like...
Unfortunately, you can't see me right now, but I am wearing my Phoebe Bridgers wig, so, you know, just for the occasion.
I thought you were going to say you do have a UTI right now.
Well, can you, you wouldn't be able to see that.
We could hear
it. Special surprise. Well, speaking of back, I will be back pretty soon. But in the meantime, I did listen to a lot of albums this year. Should I get started or what?
Go.
Are we waiting? Go? Okay. Listened to a lot of albums this year. Lots of good stuff. Really hard to come down to 10. Some tough cuts and stuff along the way. But we'll go from the beginning here. Number 10 is the newest Jason Isbell album, Reunions. Number 9 is the comeback album from The Strokes, The New Abnormal. Diehards might not call it a comeback, but I think it was a comeback. Number 8, the best hip-hop album of the year, Freddie Gibbs and The Alchemist with Alfredo.
That is really long.
Then we got number 7, The Posthumous, probably the best post-death album that's ever been released, or at least of recent memory, you know, because a lot of them are cash grabs and stuff like that. But this one felt actually like tasteful and well-produced. It's the Mac Miller album, Circles. Number 6 is the self-titled album from Leon LaHavis, one of the best kind of like neo-soul R&B kind of albums of the year for sure. And then my top 5, I've got the lead singer from Big Thief, Adrian Lenker, with her Songs album. She released 2 albums on the same day. One's just a couple instrumental tracks, and then the Songs album is That's just extremely album. Well-written, great indie stuff.
What is it?
Number 4 is the debut, or maybe second album from this newer band called Porridge Radio, called Every Bad, kind of like a post-punk indie kind of mix. Really cool lead singer, really good stuff. And then number 3, I've got another kind of indie folk masterpiece of sorts. It's the newest Laura Marling album, Song for Our Daughter. Really, really love that one. Some of the strings and her vocals, just really beautiful. And then top 2, I've got Fleet Foxes, Shore, being my number 2. This one came out at such a good time of the year for me. Kind of needed a bit of a pick-me-up at the time, and it was just the most, like, kind of upbeat and full of life Fleet Foxes album we've had. There's more rhythm on it than usual, a lot more groove. It's really fun to listen to. And then number 1, as I alluded to previously, and as if you saw on my Instagram post, I went all in for Phoebe Bridgers this year. Punisher is my album of the year.
Woo!
Hell yeah.
I was just talking about how much I love that record.
Yeah, it's really good. I don't know what you said, but I agree.
So you agree Phoebe Bridgers does on my ass?
Yes, yeah, she does on your ass.
What about yours, Drew?
Not yet.
Still waiting over here.
His sweatpants haven't shown up yet.
Anyway.
He can't hear me
making
this joke.
I'll let you guys get back to your thing.
Thanks, Drew!
Briefly talking, and I'll talk to you guys
soon.
What
about your grocery list?
Love you, Drew.
Grocery list? I don't actually have one at the moment, but...
Fuck off.
Drew, don't bring us back presents from Colorado.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Okay. Duly noted, I will make sure not to bring you anything.
Thank
okay,
you.
Cool.
I do like chocolate, though.
I'll take shrooms.
Cool. All right. Well, I got pulled over in Kansas on my way here, and they searched my entire vehicle. So if I do, I will be dodging Kansas on the ride home.
There you
That's
go.
That's hilarious right, to me because you're the least assuming-looking person I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, well, they didn't see me. They saw my red car with a New York license plate on it.
It's the New York plates. Yep. Happened to me in Iowa.
Like, oh, this guy's doing drugs.
Anyway, New York drugs. Nice talking to you guys. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Thanks,
Bye,
Drew.
Bye, Drew.
Thank you. Also, shout out to Phoebe for acknowledging our costumes.
That happened, which was awesome.
Really fucking cool.
Shout out to Phoebe's social media manager. She gave us the fire emoji.
So technically that means that she does own Dark Side Records.
Friend of the store.
Friend of the store.
Friend of the store. Yes. Fiji Bridgers.
Yep. Fiji.
Fiji.
Or we're going to splatter your ashes.
I'm going to splatter my ashes.
Not in Fiji, just through the Fiji water. That's all.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Fiji water.
You like a square bottle. I
yeah.
Know.
You know?
Should we make that a meme? Fiji Bridgers?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Is her album cover with just a bottle of Fiji water?
It's her looking up at the logo.
Yes, please make this.
I'll put it on our TikTok.
Yeah.
There you go. That's how we win.
Yep.
Okay, I guess it's my turn.
Hell yeah.
I wrote down reissues this year. I don't know if I've ever done that before. But there were some good reissues, so it was worth mentioning. First off, Tom Petty, Wildflowers.
My dad asked me if I was putting it on my list, and I said no.
Well, Mark, you can enjoy it on my list. It's just Wildflowers. It's been out of print for years. They did a beautiful 9-LP box set available only at indie record stores, of which we are one and of which I did partake upon. Probably the most spun reissue of the year, and was very excited to see it randomly on the internet, was the President of the United States of America.
Oh, yes. Yes.
President of the United States of America.
Oh, such a good record.
Still in rotation.
Yeah. Oh,
so good.
Still crazy after all these years.
What was the song that you said that they should do for the election?
Oh, it's I Can't Get Your Body Out of My Mind. But every time I hear it, I just hear, I can't get Joe Biden out of my mind.
Yes!
And then that pairs really well with the line right before it where he says, the worms found a hole in your booty they could enter. Just, I like it. PJ Harvey reissues
yes!
this year. Woo! We had Dry. We had Dry Demos. We had Rid of Me.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a third one?
Rid of Me Demo.
Well, the demo. There's yeah. demos for each one, but was there three? Oh, To Bring You My Love.
Yes, that one's so good.
Yeah, so I'm that guy, and I have original pressings of the albums, but very excited for the demo reissues. And the one I don't own original press of coming up this year now, Stories from the City, Stories from the Sea, slightly Raider
mm-hmm.
record.
Of the Lost Ark.
But still fucking awesome. Looking forward to that one. And this one, not technically a reissue. But I'm going to call it a reissue because it was recorded when it came out. Neil Young returned to Greendale. Mm-hmm. Greendale, one of my favorite Neil Young records. He makes a whole thing out of it. This was a live album that was recorded on the Greendale tour, which is the first time I saw Neil Young in 2004, I believe, where he played the Greendale album in its entirety, complete with stage actors and props and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, they cleared the whole stage and he played a greatest hits show. And it was fucking great. So, big fan of Greendale. For my list, I am refusing to do a numbered list this year.
Whoa.
Sticking to the man.
That's yeah. Right. Fuck 2020.
We still have socks available.
No, it's true. Those are probably should go on clearance now.
No, we'll be saying that for years.
So, I did a baker's dozen here. In no particular order, just because, whatever, who fucking cares? It's all records that I enjoyed in 2020. And surprised with this first mention to not hear it on anybody else's list, particularly you two's.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. For yous?
Now I'm nervous.
That's right. Yeah, you're both going to go, fuck.
Yeah.
Leon Bridges and Corongabin, Texas Sun.
Fuck, that was good.
That one was on my larger list.
Further
it just
down.
Didn't make it into my top 10.
Further down the spiral.
The only problem with that one is it just wasn't.
It's so short.
Long
it's
enough.
So fucking short.
It's an EP, but still.
Yeah. It was good.
It was so great at the beginning of the year. It made you feel hopeful, and then everything went to shit, and the world was correct.
Especially like it came out when it was still like cold and dreary last winter, and then the song Texas Sun was just like.
It made you feel good.
It just made you feel, it made you feel warm. Yep. You know?
Gave Brian the warm fuzzies.
Yeah.
Jungle Fire, self-titled record.
Oh yeah.
That one was given to me by Mr. Billy Fields, and it's fucking great. It's a Latin funk record, all instrumental. It just those killer Killer Horns, not Killer Corns. That's a different thing. Yeah, just a great Latin funk record. I should bring that back in, actually. That was fucking good.
Yeah.
Idols, Ultramano. You're right, Julia. It was not Joy as an Act of Resistance, but it was still a good record.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It grew on me after the first couple of listens, and I feel like I should return to it because it's been a couple months now. But
I spun it today, and mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, it deserves to be number three.
Yeah, it's good. It's, you know, I don't think it's as good as the last one, but it doesn't matter what I fucking think. Margot Price, That's How Rumors Get Started. It's one we talked about earlier, but it's, you know, I love Margot Price. She's very dark in a dreamy sort of way, particularly this record. Produced by Sturgill, mm-hmm. and it very much sounded like it could have been a Fleetwood Rec. It sounded like it could have been Rumors, but recorded today.
Yeah.
Well, that's how Rumors get started.
Ha!
Booyah.
sorry.
Got him.
While mentioning Sturgill, of course, Sturgill Simpson, Cuttin' Grass, Volume 1. I wondered if this should make the list, but not because it's not good, but because it's technically no new songs. It's just bluegrass recordings of songs he has already released. But nonetheless, we listened to it a lot, and I enjoyed it. And that's only in the last, 2 months at most?
Yeah, I was going to say a month and a half or so.
Bill Callahan, Gold Record, sort of fits into the same model as the Sturgill. That record was mostly songs that he had started or recorded before, but he felt weren't good enough in the way he put them out or started them, and so he redid them and made a whole record, and of course he called it Gold Record. And my favorite line was the opening song. He goes, if you're not familiar, it's a very deep voice, and he goes, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash." And I put it on one day, and some customer, I don't know who it was, in the middle of the store goes, "No, you're not." let's see. Run the Jewels 4.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else to say other because everybody else has already said it on this podcast, but it's so fucking good. And I just, the hooks get stuck in your head. And I also think this is the first time ever a hip hop album has made my top 10 list. Mm. I don't know. I've never exposed to a ton of hip hop. I got nothing against it. I just don't really know it, but this record is so fucking good. Let's see. What haven't I said? Jason Isbell, Reunions. Hit right at the right time.
Yeah.
All the Isbell records are good. So is this one. Buy it.
That's his hype sticker.
Yeah. You can't go wrong. I made Brian buy Southeastern the other day just so I could hear it.
Yeah.
Because my copy wasn't here.
His line, "Just commit to Southeastern." And I was like, fine.
Fiona Apple, Fetch the Bolt Cutters. Yes. This was probably my most anticipated record of the year because I've loved Fiona since middle school. And even when Celeste Young made fun of me for not knowing all the different tracks. Fuck you, Celeste.
I hate those type of people.
She's listening. I was like,
there's literally a song about this on that record.
Yeah, I know. I have this very specific memory of sitting in the auditorium in middle school, and she was in front of me, and her and this other girl turned around and like, "What are you listening to?" And I said, "Fiona Apple," and like, "Oh, what's your favorite track?" And I think I probably just said "Criminal" because I was 11. And they're like, "Ah," and I just have this whole memory of them shitting on me for saying "Criminal." But I've loved
and
Fiona
that's
Apple
how
for years.
Trauma forms.
Not my favorite of her catalog, I would say, but it's still really fucking good. If you want to know my favorite, it's Extraordinary Machine.
I like that album a lot.
That record is so fucking
good. That's a really good album.
Phoebe Bridgers, Punisher. Again, what else is there to say? Other than I feel like this is my record store guy moment to go, "I told you so."
Yeah.
I told you all so.
You did.
Yeah.
Because that Better Oblivion Community Center record last year was so fucking good.
It was.
And it really just put me on a radar. And then when she did the Tom Waits cover of Georgia Lee, that really sealed the deal for me. And then Julia told me she had a Nick Cave poster on her wall, like, at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, even more done.
Yeah. She did the Amoeba What's in My Bag, and she highlighted it because she did get it on Amoeba. But it's, like, it's such a cool picture of Nick Cave. And it's, does it say, like, fuck cops on it?
I think it says fuck cops, yeah.
Yeah. It's such a sick picture. It looks like kind of like birthday party era. Like,
yeah, it's like really, it's probably birthday party or really early Nick Cave. And also, I just got this Nick Cave. He launched a new store. I thought this was funny. Where he was recording a video, and his producer at the time, or his manager at the time, told him that he should drop the suit look, because he always wears a suit. It's just his thing. Mm-hmm. And Nick Cave responded to him, "Suck my dick." And so the next day, he's at the video shoot, and his manager shows up with a t-shirt, and it's like a navy blue t-shirt that says, "Suck my dick." So Nick threw off his shirt and jacket, and he wore the suit pants and a "Suck my dick" t-shirt.
That's awesome.
For the music video. Yes. And for the anniversary of that, he just re-released the t-shirt on his website that says, "Suck my dick."
Oh my God.
Thought about it, but not sure how I can get away with it.
Nicky does have good merch.
He really does. There was this whole thing recently. This is here and over there, but he has these doodles of women going down on each other, and they're called the Hilton women because he like draws them on notepads from hotels. And so they turned it into wallpaper, and it's fucking hilarious. And there's this whole interview with him where he mentioned it, and he's very proud of himself for making a product that no one wants because he's never sold even a single roll of this wallpaper.
That's hilarious.
But in good company with Phoebe Bridgers, we have the much-anticipated record from Bright Eyes for me because it had been 10 years, and that was this year's Down in the Weeds, Where the World Once Was. It's just it's a good Bright Eyes record. He put a lot of thought and effort into it, I think, and it sounds like they kind of picked up where they left off, but Where the People's Key is a little more hopeful. This one is most certainly not. So, and that's the way I like it. And I guess that leaves me with my, of course, record for the year, which is Nick Cave, Alone at Alexandra Palace, which was the live stream that happened, the first one where I got my wings and beer, watched it on my couch, and it was fucking phenomenal. It sounds amazing. And then I didn't know if they were going to put it out. Of course they did. But the record finally came out, and I put it on here. And Brian was on the stage shipping the day that I put it on for the first time. And he goes, "I came back for something." He goes, "Who is this?" And I go, "This is Nick Cave." And he goes, "Yeah, I thought so. This is really fucking depressing."
The picture on the cover of that album, I think, made me more depressed than anything about 2020.
See, I found it so interesting.
As someone who is... been to so many shows at Alexandra Palace and been in that room. It's so, I don't know if you guys know, but I think I told Julia this. Alexandra Palace is the largest standing venue in London. It holds 11,000 people standing, no seats. And I feel like for the most part, the shows I've been to there are really, really, like, I saw Florence and the Machine there. I saw Haim there, like, really upbeat, really, like, exciting and, like, charged in a room full of people. So to, like, see a picture of it completely fucking empty. Obviously, it's empty most of the time, like, year round. But, like, that, like, really made me, like, fucking sad. It just really bummed me out.
I thought the whole thing was beautiful because it opens up silently. And it just sort of... It's, I presumably like the stairwell entrance to the building where it's like carpeted really nice and there's like gold handrails and everything. And he just kind of rounds a corner, goes down the stairs and through the room into the doors into this giant room and just walks across an empty room. And you just hear his footsteps and sits down at this gorgeous piano. And
see, but I feel
that's
like that's poetic and a picture of it just kind of makes me sad. Like I didn't actually see the video or the stream.
Yeah, I found it really. I remember when you got that. I found it really powerful, and we talked about the photo and how one side is him performing, and I think the back side is him with like, and there's like you
his
know the makeup people
yeah.
and whoever you know like people figuring out camera angles or whatever, and it's a really powerful photo.
It was a really great show, and it's him. You know, he's done this series of In Conversations for a few years now since his kid died, sort of figuring out how to be in the world again. And those are always great because you see him do things that he would never do with the Bad Seeds live. And he'll just sit down and play a song that was never even released on piano, but he just kind of pounds away at it. And so this was basically a whole, you know, hour and a half performance of that. And it was fantastic.
So that's your number one. Got it.
No, I don't. Wouldn't say that is my number one.
I'm winking. You can't.
You don't
can't
have to say that. We
podcast.
Would all say that.
If I had to pick a number one, it's probably either Phoebe or Fiona.
Yeah.
Is it?
Because
the Nick Cave is obligatory. Like, you just know it's going to be on the list.
See, that's what I mean about the 1975. Like, it's going to be on the list.
That's what I mean about Elder.
That's what I mean about Misery Signals.
That's what I mean about Taylor Swift.
What?
I was speaking for you. Just
I'm sorry.
So where does the Black Dahlia murder fall on your list, Justin?
Honorable mention.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
14.
So. Yes.
Almost.
Yeah, I didn't really have like honorable mentions this year.
I like always forget to do that, and like my lists are never that long. And I specifically remember, I think it was Brian that I told, because I think he was here the day I did it, that the only thing I actively like took off my list this year was Lady Gaga. And I didn't even think to do an honorable mention. And I also had a lot of reissues that I liked that came out this year, and I didn't think about that either.
Yeah.
Well, now's your chance if you want to throw in a Lady Gaga honorable mention.
Wait, also, Rain On Me? Pop.
Ah, pop. A hit.
Don't what?
Great yep. song. Great song.
I really just wanted to make a joke about the phrase that laughed, and I was going to say it.
I don't even know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I
think they're talking about the Who song, Rain Over Me.
No, Rain On Me, Lady Gaga.
Rain On Me!
With the Ariana Grande feature. I was like,
rain
okay,
on!
Guys.
Rain on!
You.
I was doing Dream On, Will yeah. Smith.
Do first time on vinyl, like, does first time on vinyl count as a reissue, or is that something else entirely?
I don't know, it's debatable.
Yeah. Chariot by Gavin DeGraw.
See, you had me for half of that.
Yeah! He was like,
yeah.
He was like Gavin DeGraw!
Like, right.
JB was like, oh, Brian, your Chariot record came out, and you were like, fuck you.
I didn't mention any of them, but the Tone Poet series this
oh,
year.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Woo! Blue
what
Note.
What a wide
keep them coming.
2020 was definitely the year for me to get into, I got into a lot more jazz, and Tone Poet really helped with that, too, because it was such a wide span of different types of jazz, and I feel like, especially like at the beginning of the year, you were buying like every one of them essentially that came out. So we would spin them in here and
yeah.
I got to pick and choose, kind of really feel my way through jazz. Cause I've, you know, I've never disliked jazz, but I never really listened.
Mm-hmm. This is the thing about the Tone Poets. Yeah. Just buy one and then you're going to want to buy them all. Cause yeah. they sound phenomenal.
Yeah. All the, wait,
it
I
really
got
was
really,
the year
yeah.
of the reissue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got really into shoegaze this year and all those slow dive reissues.
Yeah.
Those slow dive reissues have been selling like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
they're good.
I played Just for a Day yesterday.
Yesterday, yep.
And yeah, I remember the first time I spun that, you were like, I liked it. Like,
yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
That's, you could definitely see like the influence on a lot of bands that
yeah,
that had, you know?
For mm-hmm. sure.
It's fucking good.
But yeah, all those reissues were awesome this year.
Alice in Chains, Facelift.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was a good one. That hasn't been in press since the original.
And the remasters is another one, like a noticeable difference.
Yeah.
Like, sounds so good.
That was really good. All the entire Between the Bear and Me catalog.
That's another one.
Remastered and remixed.
Except for Colors. Colors is the only one that the remix remaster I did not enjoy.
Really?
Yeah, like Silent Circus sounds like a completely different record. It's like a different fucking band. It's so good.
If I'm being honest, I listened to like the later ones, like Great Misdirect.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to but I'm really kind of afraid to listen to like the first couple of albums because they have a certain sound for me that really like it's a memory for me. Like that first Between the Bear and Me record, I remember it sounding kind of like just like tinny in certain areas, but then like super distorted in other areas. And I like that. And I'm really afraid to hear it kind of polished.
Don't be
Same
afraid.
Same thing with Silent Circus.
Don't like, be afraid. Just do it, man. They sound great. Silent Circus especially fucking is – it's the remix remaster is so good. So yeah. Tip of the hat to Between the Bear and Me for your
– Wag of the finger.
Wag of the finger.
All right, well, that's our top 10 list. Like we said at the beginning of the episode.
That's the first 3 hours of the top 10. Yeah.
Like I said at the beginning of the episode, we would love to know your top 10 lists. If you've got them, send them our way. Tag us in your posts if you post them online. Use the hashtag DSTop102020. That is, of course, hashtag DSTOPTEN, the numbers 2020. We want to know what you loved in 2020. There was still a lot of good that came out of 2020, including a lot of good music. So on this here, our final episode of 2020, we just want to say thanks for being here. Thank you for your support.
Thank you for being a friend.
Thanks for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Did you want us to keep going?
I mean, you sing underneath my I'll talk over. Go ahead. So,
no, you're supposed to edit that in.
Your heart is true. Yeah,
thanks for listening.
I don't know.
Take care of each other. Be kind to each other out there. Wear a goddamn mask.
Over your fucking nose.
Jesus. This is a PSA. If you walk into the store and you have your mask under your nose, I will pinch it. As is my legal right.
Actually, speaking of which, I just yawned before and my mask slipped under my nose. How do people even wear it like that? That's fucking uncomfortable.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah.
Granted, I have a mustache, so it's making me tickle up my nose, but still, it's like just super uncomfortable.
It just feels unnatural.
So unnatural.
Anything y'all want to say to our listeners here at the end of the end of 2020 here?
No, I think I wanted to end on that threat.
Okay. So on behalf of Dark Side Records, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, of course, head over to iTunes or whatever platform you're listening to it on. Leave us a nice review. Leave us some stars. I don't want to tell you how many stars, but minimum 73. That's it. On behalf of Dark Side Records, I'm JB.
I'm JJ.
I'm Julia.
I'm Becca.
I'm Brian.
And we will see you
in the bins. Good night, 2020.